This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So, church, 33 years ago, a young, good-looking couple from the north went down south to join a fledgling church plant that became known as Southwest London Vineyard. That young couple were us, and we committed ourselves to following John and Eleanor Mumford, who had just planted that church. And over those years since, John and Eleanor have inspired and taught and discipled us in ways, many significant ways, and too many, too numerous to recount here. And over those years, they become very close and dear friends too. They planted Southwest London Vineyard and then and sent us out from there as well. So, church, we have John and Eleanor with us today, who are our parents in church terms, because they planted us out some time ago. And then John and Eleanor went on to lead the movement nationally, Vineyard Churches in the UK. And then just a few years ago, they handed the church over to Neil and Kate, and then they handed over the Vineyard national role to John and Debbie Wright. Currently, they're now serving the movement internationally, and they are highly respected around the world as leaders in the vineyard and helping the kingdom come in lots and lots of countries and places. They're highly respected nationally and internationally. And we're just really honored and delighted that Ellie has agreed to come and speak this morning. And both of them will be joining us tonight in the study, where we can talk through some of the big issues, perhaps, as well as hear more on this subject. So I have to say to you, everybody, you're in for a treat. A warm welcome to you, Eleanor. Let me pray for you, and then I'll hand over to you. Holy Spirit, we want to give you thanks for John and Eleanor, and we ask you to come now and anoint her once again with your gift for preaching. And would you open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us? In Jesus' name, amen. Over to you, Eleanor.
Amen. Amen. And good morning to you. Good morning, many, many friends at Leeds Vineyard. And not least, I didn't know what David was going to say, and of course, he's always incredibly gracious. However, I was going to refer to the fact that we have known each other for 33 years, and they were not the only young couple involved in this, I might say. But when they did come to us, it was too wonderful. We've been doing this adventure with them and count them among our very dearest friends. And we've been doing this for all these years, so I can only say to you, Leeds Vineyard, that we have actually checked them out. Although it has taken, you might say, quite a long time. But we think now that they are fully fledged. So it's lovely to be with you. For the past few months, I have determinedly resisted and, in fact, cringed at things like unprecedented, or indeed, what are the other things? The new normal, or strange times. And of course, everyone who says it thinks that nobody else has thought of it before, which is always rather amusing to me. However, the truth is, and it's hard to get around, that these are indeed unnervingly uncertain times. And therefore, in the middle of it all, I think we need more than anything else, and more than ever, perhaps, a word of certainty from the Lord. So I'm going to quote to you a very simple, easy to remember, easy to memorize, quick to call to mind verse. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, where we read, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there you have it. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any safer. It doesn't get any easier to quote. The Message version says, Jesus doesn't change. Yesterday, tomorrow, today, tomorrow, he's always totally himself. Through thick and thin, come what may, in best of times, worst of times, nothing changes that truth. Jesus stays constant. I recently read, and I don't even quite remember where, this: people are experiencing too much fear and pain to go for a week without hearing a concrete word of hope from God. And this, I trust, is that. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Alfred Lord Tennyson, the English poet, said his character, Jesus' character, was more wonderful than the greatest miracle. Dostoevsky, the Russian writer, he said, "I believe there is no one lovelier, no one deeper, no one more sympathetic, no one more perfect than Jesus." H.G. Wells, unexpectedly, who was a professed atheist, he said this, "I am a historian, I am not a believer. But the penniless preacher from Galilee is irresistibly the center of history." And then Einstein, who was not exactly an intellectual slouch himself, he wrote this. He was Jewish, of course, and he said this, "As a child, I received instruction both in the Bible and in the Talmud. I am a Jew, but," he said, "I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates from every page. No myth is ever filled with such life." Einstein. Einstein was extremely bright, so much so that at the end of his life, he said this, "If I had my life again, I'd be a plumber," which, of course, all goes to show that he was a very wise man. So let's consider some of the names of Jesus. Some of the names. In the Old Testament, he was called the bright morning star because of his brilliance, because he was so glittering, because of his sparkling person. Even from days gone by, he was known as the bright morning star. And then also in the Old Testament, he was known as the Rose of Sharon. And the rose speaks of beauty, which is why I loved that song that we sang earlier. And that wonderful final line, I don't know whether you picked it up, "Your beauty arches over all." And the song is so remarkable. It's one of my absolute all-time favorites. It's a hymn, I think, of the Vineyard in our time. And it speaks of the very beginning of all things, and it speaks of the very end of all things, the beginning and the end, and yet arching them, linking them, it says, "Your beauty arches over all." There was his sparklingness, his beauty. He was called the Ancient of Days. He determines history, but he was before history, and he will be beyond it. He's the son of David and the son of man, which speaks of his humanity and his earthly lineage. He was the lion of the true tribe of Judah. He was the ultimate strong victor. And yet, paradoxically, he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was the Lamb that was slain and now stands in the center of the throne, in the place of all authority, all control. But he only won that victory by having become the ultimate victim. All glory to you, slain and risen King. No wonder we sing these things. He was the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. He was so many things. He has so many names, and they tell us so much. And yet, will you too consider some of his claims? This riveting historical figure, H.G. Wells' penniless preacher from Galilee, whose personality pulsates from every page of the Gospels, according to Einstein. This wonderful Jesus spoke of himself in extraordinary terms. To those groping in darkness, wondering what is the point of all this, he said, I am the light of the world. I can throw light on things. I can shed light on things. I can lead you in the path. I am brighter. I can illuminate, if ever we need it, a bright light. To the hungry and the desperate, he said, I am the bread of life. It is I that will ultimately satisfy, ultimately fill you, ultimately meet your needs, ultimately sustain you. I am the bread of life. I'm all you need. We used to sing when you first came to know Jesus, we used to sing lovely things. All that I need is in Jesus. He satisfies, joy he supplies. And it's so true. Decades later, it's so true. To those who are confused by life and we have no sense of direction, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. We live in a moral minefield, huge moral issues to navigate. And that's even without the COVID thing. And yet, too, we find ourselves in shifting, even quicksands, needing stepping stones of security, stability, certainty. Jesus says, I am that way. And he said, I'm the truth. The most comforting thing of all is that Jesus is truth. You know, in the 17th and 18th century, when there's wonderful high ships, tall ships used to sail the waves, and in the storms, a sailor would lash himself to the mast of the ship in order not to be thrown overboard through the storm. And similarly, in these days, which are pretty tumultuous, we lash ourselves to the truth of the scriptures, to the very person of Jesus, who throws such light on those scriptures. To those who long to belong, yearning to belong, found perhaps in these days particularly the loneliness of not belonging, of being isolated against all their instincts, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, I don't know how many vines you grow around Leeds, and we certainly don't grow any around here. However, I have seen vines growing in the days where we could go that far, and the trunk will come out of the earth strong, gnarled, strong, established, and then gradually the branches will take off, the tendrils will form, everything will become interlocked and fruitful. But it's all grafted into the shaft, into the trunk, into the vine, grafted into Jesus, intricately interwoven. You can't see where one starts and the other stops. That's how it does feel to belong to Jesus. I am the vine, he says. And then to those who fear death, he says this, I am the resurrection and the life. No one who believes in me will ever die, he says. I mean, it's extraordinary stuff. The ultimate and deepest assurance for all of us who believe in him and accept all that he has to offer is that there is no dying, there is resurrection. Isn't it interesting how this COVID thing has exposed people's fears of death, often unspoken, unarticulated. People can't say these things. They don't talk about them. But they are so real. And the truth is there is no science. There is no ultimate vaccine. There is no medical service, however caring and wonderful, that can get around the inevitable truth that we will all die. Woody Allen famously said, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. And actually, he speaks of so many. Jesus alone can take us through death, through the valley of the shadow, and beyond to everlasting life in his presence and his company. And it is our ultimate assurance. And then lastly, to those struggling, aren't we all? But to those particularly struggling with loneliness and despair, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I'm the one that accompanies you, that loves you and protects you. The story is told, you may well have heard it, of a little shepherd boy during the days of the Welsh Revival, which was probably 1904, 1905. He was a little chap, lived in a village deep in the heart of Wales. He wasn't educated. He had no lettering, no schooling, nothing. But he loved his sheep. However, during the days of the revival, everybody flocked to the chapels, and he went to the chapel, and he was taught Psalm 23, and he was taught that wonderful verse, the Lord is my shepherd, language that he could understand. And he was taught it on the fingers of one hand, and he was shown this, the Lord is my shepherd. And he learned it by heart, the Lord is my shepherd. That autumn, he went up into the hills with the sheep for their final visit before the winter. However, they were caught in a freak storm, and they were snowed in, and they never came back. Only in the spring of the following year did the snows melt, and the little flock was found, and the little shepherd boy was with them. But when they found him, they couldn't understand why his right hand was holding the fourth finger of his left. The Lord is my, gripping that finger of his left hand. So, do you remember 10 minutes ago or whatever it was, and don't even answer that question, do you remember me saying that I didn't think there was a time that any of us could go for more than a week without a concrete word of hope from the Lord? And I would love to think that this is that, and that I would leave you with that fabulous verse. And I would encourage you to memorize it. It's not difficult. Memorize it. Take it into yourself like medicine, a prescription, if you like, three times a day if you need. Jesus Christ, all these wonderful things. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why don't we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you are, for all that you've done, for all that you offer, for every name that speaks of your loveliness, for every claim that speaks of your power. And Lord, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you that we can be yours and you can be ours. And Lord, will you bless your people? Will you bless us all with that sense of absolute sureness? I can be sure of the Jesus Christ today, yesterday, and forever. And the people, wherever they all are, say, Amen. And now let me hand back to David and Alison.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Eleanor. A word of certainty, a concrete word in these times. Thank you. That is so encouraging.
Yeah, wonderful.
We'll listen back to that many times. Let's move, let's take that certainty and those words about Jesus. He was the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's ministering today amongst us. Alison, Helen, would you like to come and join us? Helen, are you there? Yes, Helen, she is there.
Okay. Hi. Over to you guys. Go. Do you want to start, Helen?
Okay, yeah. It was just during the, sometimes we all gather to pray before we come online, and then I had a picture of a scroll, and just this sense of these ancient promises of God that are timeless, that he never changes. And he was opening up and just bringing a deeper revelation and reminding people that he is, it ties in completely with what Eleanor was saying at the end, that he is the same today and forever and yesterday and just never changes. And I feel like it would be good just to probe it more into that, that he wants to bring his reassurance and a restoration of the truth of his promises. So I'll just pray into that and then you guys can take over. So Father, we can receive that truth. We receive the truth that you are the same forever. And I pray that there are, get the sense that there's specific promises that you want to remind people of about your character, that you are good and that you are powerful, that you are our shepherd, that you are our Father. So, Father, we receive that truth again today. And for those that just need to hear it afresh or hear it for the first time, will you come wherever people are, in their living rooms as they hold out their hands before you? Will you come and bring that revelation that comes straight from you about who you are? Amen.
Amen.